Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Justify me by myself, but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Right now, you're joining poets from around the world, from across thousands of miles, to come together as a family and to share work together and to partake in community. Like a flock of winged pigs flying at you through a storm made with clouds of vaporized pickle juice, it's World Poetry Open Mic, September 29th edition, 2017. I am your not-so-humble host, Michael Amadei. Sometimes I'm just straight up egotistical. But one guy who will call me on my crap is my co-host and the man who actually makes the show happen, Mr. JT Gunter.
Why, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
No, I told you the story about what happened to me on the way in. Do you think I should share it?
Yeah, actually. It's really kind of a surprise.
Yeah. So I don't know how you describe it. I mean, you know, we all have weeks occasionally where it just... You're just kind of grumpy. It just isn't, things just don't seem to be going right. You just start getting frustrated. And I was trying my best, and I actually put a great public face on for the kids and everything this week. But you saw me on Wednesday. I was just fried, and I was doing my best, but it was rough, man.
Yeah.
And today, so I leave, and I'm going to Starbucks to come on. I always get coffee on the way in. And right at the last second, this huge... beautiful, expensive Cadillac Escalade just whips in front. Actually, it makes an illegal turn, and then when I get closer to the drive-thru, just cuts me off and just goes straight into the turn-in for the drive-thru. And it's just, you know, I have that moment of breathing.
Yep. It's
like, this guy, what is going on, right? And so I wait for him, and I basically got myself back down to everything's fine, no need. You know, I don't do road rage. I don't do it.
You're lucky.
It's meditation. It's the only reason. and so anyway, I get up to the window and I'm handed my stuff, and the lady behind the or at the window goes, "Yeah, that guy in front of you just paid for you and like the next 20 cars." And I thought, "What?" Yeah, I didn't even get anything. He just came and paid for it. And it suddenly became apparent to me that he had sped and got in front of me so he could pay first, which was incredibly nice of him. And it made me suddenly eat humble pie a bit and go, oh, yeah. There's a lesson I should be taking. Yeah, that's okay. We all need them, right? I don't feel like, you know, bad because I had to have a lesson in that humility and, you know, not expecting and seeing the worst all the time. It really doesn't matter. As long as no one got hurt with him pulling in front, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's really fine. And you know, that was just a very nice gesture. And it wasn't just because he spent money that I'm like, oh, it's okay now. It's more that just that gesture is more where I would aim my mentality to be if I was being more conscious. Mm-hmm. This last weekend, we had your birthday, my friend.
Yes, we did.
And do you want to tell them what we did?
We went four-wheeling.
Oh, yeah. I liked it, actually. It was pretty. So nice.
Yeah, we went over We were going to go up one route, and that route actually had an accident or a slowdown, a massive slowdown.
Right, right.
So we chose to go the reverse of our circle, and went up and over and visited the Middle Earth scene twice on that trip.
But of course, what he's referring to is it was starting to get really foggy.
Yeah,
it is fall here, and yep, officially fall. But as we head up into the higher elevations, it gets more and more foggy. It becomes the Misty Mountains, as we refer to it,
yeah,
of course, because that's how we are. But the I think one of the capstone things for me was going up, was it Shriner Pass where we got up to the top with that cabin?
No, that was No Name.
That's right, No Name Pass.
No Name.
So we're up at this place, and guys, I will find a way to post footage of this so you can see what it was like. It was like being, it was like the Scottish Moors on top of a mountain and completely surrounded by sleet, and it was just white. Gorgeous. And then on the way back down, it was the perfect spring-like snowstorm. Nothing sticking to the roads, but we're driving down this mountain, and it was just this gorgeous, gorgeous thing. I put the camera away. I thought, I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to focus on anything but just being here at the moment. And in that moment, funny enough, I sat there and I thought about this, and I got to a point where I said, you know, I am, as of this moment, absolutely at peace with the idea of death. And I don't mean like in a dark, negative way. And I'm just absolutely fine with it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not worried about it. When it comes, it comes. Not if, when. Yeah. When it comes, it comes.
If for me.
Exactly. And the thing that I kind of I realized too, and I think I said it out loud, was, you know, I think some of the things that I'll miss be like things like that.
Yeah.
Like we were watching.
But yeah,
it was a beautiful, poetic thing, I thought. And then we go into Leadville, which to me, even though it's a mining town, is all about Oscar Wilde.
Yep.
And the place where he came and gave a speech is still standing. And just fantastic to be there. So it was just, for me, I thought it was a great day. We were up just driving around. We finished with a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
That man hit me like a ton of bricks. And I mean in the head. I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, in general. Yeah. And but man, I thought it was really good, and I was happy to be able to be there with you. So happy late birthday again, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Good. I thought so too. At any rate, you know, we're here to do poetry, though, aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Now this is the last show of the month, which means that should you choose to, our poet of the month is named Kenneth Pachin. You could read something by him. You can read something by someone else. You can read something by yourself. We like to be open forum, but we like to suggest, if you're interested, find out more about our Poets of the Month. We'll be announcing three new clues next week for the first for the Poet of the Month for October 2017.
Yes.
But we're going to wrap up the month now. So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to have a call-in segment, five unique callers. We have two rules. Let me throw this out. And this isn't just for the first segment. This is across the board. One, we don't do hate speech. And number two, while we are dealing in art, we try to make things accessible, and we don't like to, you know, deal in censorship. We do try to skew PG-13 because we have families and children sometimes that listen in because they're furthering their love of the art form of poetry and of words, and we want to encourage that. However, you know, we understand if a few things are, you know, a little bit blue if it's on the name of art. If it goes into word porn, if it goes into something like that, we're probably just going to cut it off. We do have a segment for that, which will be actually next week. Yes, everybody, the Fabled After Dark segment is returning next week. So, yes, the Fabled. So make sure you've got all your dirty poetry ready for that. Can't wait.
Next week.
Can't wait. Yeah, not today. Let's do this, though. Five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. First segment, let's go.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Like a prom dress, we're on and we're staying on. It's World Poetry Open Mic, and we're back.
We are.
For the first segment. Did you like that analogy?
That was a little odd.
I feel like
yes.
I'm rocking the analogies right now.
Yeah? Like the one you did earlier today?
Which one? Okay, I'm going to tell this one real quick. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. It's perfectly fine.
So I was at an in-service day today with a bunch of other teachers, right? And so we're in the middle of this. I mean, I'm in this huge gym, tables and tables and tables full of people, administrators and everything. And they're telling us basically things we already know, but acting like it's a revelation. And so this trainer says, well, you know, when you're teaching your basic lesson, it's, you know, we'll use the analogy of ice cream. So the basic lesson is, you know, the ice cream. And then there's people who need a little bit more help or they need some specialized instruction. So that's like the sprinkles and stuff on top of the ice cream. And then, you know, it keeps building up. So then she encourages us to find our own metaphors for stacking things on top of each other. And people, you know, they're called up and someone says, oh, it's like a taco. And someone else says it's a, you know, that's a burger or pizza or whatever. And I'm sitting in the back going, I think I was actually writing World Poetry Open Mic like to-do lists. I think that's actually what I was doing at that moment. And so they call me up, and you guys know me. I don't even have to explain it. So I get up there. She goes, what's your analogy? This is the slightly self-destructive part of me. I go, well, it's kind of like when they tried to kill Rasputin. First they poisoned him, then they shot him, then they drowned him. And that was my analogy.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So with that being said, you know, there is a submission, but I'm going to do it at the end. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right, cool, because I want to be able to wade through it and kind of take a look. Yeah. Right. Let's go to a great poet to lead us off right now. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan, in a perfect place for him, the front of the line. How's it going, Dennis?
I'm doing wonderful. It's Friday night.
Yeah, that's right. We're excited to be here. We're happy you're here. And you're back at the first in line, which we love.
Yes, I happen to slip in again.
You do. Dennis has got serious game. He earns this every time legitimately. It's not we have never done a put up and put Dennis there in the front when he hasn't called in first.
And shame on anybody that should suggest such a thing.
Exactly. We're serious about this kind of thing.
Yeah, we have integrity.
That's
it.
Don't
forget it.
I'm all about integrity.
Yes, indeed.
So what do you have for us?
All right. Continuing the Poet of the Month theme, I would like to read another poem by Kenneth Patchen. The title is The Snow is Deep on the Ground. It starts like this. The snow is deep on the ground. Always the light falls softly down on the hair of my beloved. This is a good world. The war has failed. God shall not forget us. Who made the snow waits where love is. Only a few go mad. The sky moves in its whiteness like the withered hand of an old king. God shall not forget us. Who made the sky knows of our love. The snow is beautiful on the ground, and always the lights of heavenly glow softly down on the hair of my beloved. End of poem.
Wow. Good choice, man. Good choice, and a great read as well.
I understand you had some snow up in the mountains.
We had a little bit. It was absolutely beautiful, and we were very, very happy and blessed to be there.
Yes, if you're prepared for it, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, we were definitely prepared in Christine's Jeep, that's for sure. And it's nice when it's a choice up in the mountains, and you know you're coming back, and it's not going to be there. But I'll tell you, give us a couple months when I walk outside and I encounter a 2-foot snowdrift, I'm going to be.
He will be. I'll be like, woohoo!
Yeah, JT loves it.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
You know. He's like one of those large furry dogs that you let outside to just bounce through the snow for hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, better them than us.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I always say. JT shares a different opinion.
It's okay. That's quite all right.
And Dennis, I have to say thank you so much for your poem that you sent us for JT's birthday. And I was telling you when you called in that, we went up a mountain. I suddenly got service. So I heard a ding on my phone, and I realized it's from you. And I'm reading him the poem, but we're going up this incredibly bumpy, rocky road, and I'm sitting there and it's not working. And I for a while, I was giving it a valiant try, but I eventually felt like I was going to start to get sick. And and it wasn't your poetry. I had to stop.
All right. Just as long as he got the message on his birthday.
He did.
We like to make birthdays special, especially for special people like JT.
Hey, I agree.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Dennis, thank you so much, as always.
And thank you so much for providing this platform and having a place that we may share our poetry and the poetry of others, because poetry lives, and it will continue to live.
That's
with
right.
The spirit of people who enjoy it so much. And you foster that love. Thank you.
Thank you,
I'll
sir.
I'll step aside and say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the Mitten State. Not the land of the otter, as I so referred to a few months ago. I have had it brought to my attention. Michigan is not the land of the otter.
Well, this is... Okay.
Yeah. By the way, should I talk about the idea that we had while we were up in the mountains? I had the idea for a new book. Michael Amade's Alternative History of the United States. With new slogans. It's actually, no, not alternative history. I'm sorry. That's totally
right.
Wrong. Michael Amade's Alternative Atlas of the United States. And it would be 2 to 3 pages on each state, a new nickname, and a totally falsified history, a.k.a. the real facts that I would put out. I don't know. If you think it's a good idea, say it in the chat room. If not, say no. See, it's not a good idea. Because I do actually listen to what you're saying. Believe it or not, I really do. Let's go to Titus in the UK. Maybe he can set me straight.
Good Hello. Evening,
sir. Oh, good morning. How are you, Titus?
Good morning. Good evening.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yes, thanks.
Wonderful.
Yes,
great to hear your voice. How was this last week?
Very, very hectic. But like at the end of the month, work is always hectic the last couple of days. They want a lot of written stuff, so that's all done. Yeah, so that's out of the way until the end of next month.
Oh, well, wonderful. That's good that you have a bit of a reprieve anyway.
I don't know if you... Did you ever see the film The Perfect Storm?
Yes. Yes, I did.
The last part where the guys knew that they were going to die, it really affected me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm stringing you along to this poem that I'm going to read. It was a word bank which has got words in it such as, let me just go down the glider here. Okay. Benthos, which is a community of organisms living at the seabed. Well, with a group of words with that one amongst them, you've got to have something sea-related. So I done this one. I've titled it at the moment Amor Natura, which is the love of nature, but I might change that because it doesn't actually rectify. And there's just one more word, Barmecide. It's a disappointing illusory. So, of course, if you hear that word quite a few times, you know what that is. Amor Natura. Self-immersed, a bibliophile would call it Barmecide, like the cover of a book. A sea of content before me. A sea of content before me. Bastensite, the looking into, for a better word, reveals Baborgamus from all this excitement. I will find a lash surely, if this gastric kind, a book without the ending, find true to life form, as death does emerge too deep. Precarious, it seems, that lethargy lies heavy and deep, seemingly out of reach, but near enough as Barmecide is surrounded by none other than itself. I'm impending, I'm in cautious fear that those bilboes will snag me, Horror seems that a Bobsy die too afraid of what? Alas, meeting with these organisms, the unknown it reveals. Greeting consists of fluoride and carbonate. It reveals also cerium and other rare earth metals. Mind deep, man's first exploratory murmur like blatherskite. Alas, made firmer, but not a shandshake, and with it barmecide loosely attached, but not letting go. May it warm me? Benthos can adapt only to the deep and is unending. I'm worried, for never can I, with my lifetime ending, absorb a timeless attitude, and yet my history reveals bruxism, conforms the baritone, for this will raise me. Anchored well, I will pull wretched weight from deep within me to breathe again, a chance that barmecide will at last show freely and part me from this life, alas. Death as detrivore, I find, befogged a while. Barmecide to live in this real world, and like I have done, reveals love for all living things. The death of those lies deep within us, remembering we as a whole, and not only me. The rate metabolisms are slow, thereby protecting me. A steel environment, as the great depths do adapt, alas. I do detect a bioluminescence that serves just as deep. An age-resistant piezolite prevents us from pretending an otherwise immortal subject, as this bounty reveals the instinctive trait to judge what is or not barmecide. Unbelievable existence, barmecide, I welcome you, alas, to study the world around me. I'll not say unending, since knowledge reveals a dialect other than too deep. And that's the end.
It's a lovely piece, Titus. I do want to let you know that partway through, for about 2 to 3 seconds, it seemed like there was a little bit of an interference. It might have cut out a couple words, but the rest of it was brilliant. And thank you.
Yeah.
I just imagined the guy was probably gradually going to the bottom of the seabed and gradually getting sort of like attached to all these barnacles and other kinds of marine life.
Yeah.
So a little lesson in marine biology there for you all.
Oh, well. We're very, very thankful about that. No, thank you very much, Titus. Yeah. As always, we really appreciate your work and appreciate you calling. All right. You keep cutting out a little bit, so we'll just... Oh, he dropped anyway. Yeah, that was Titus calling from the UK. Thank you, Titus. What can you say? That's always enjoy his work so much.
Yes.
Great kickoff to the show so far. If only we had someone who was a Civil War reenactor who also loved Tolkien on the line.
I think you're in luck.
Really?
We have Jim on the line.
Well, that seemed really specific. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Awkward, Bob. No.
Yeah.
So how's everything going?
Doing pretty well. It was a busy week at work. You know, so some of the days were pretty quick, you know, so kept keeping busy, got through quick, and it's like, oh, I'm thankful we're going home.
Yeah, I had a few of those too. So anyway, what do you have for us? We're doing well, man. Doing well. I've been busy, incredibly busy at school, basically, at work. JT, how about you? You've been working pretty hard at some stuff.
Yeah, I've been... cleaning the house.
Yeah. But you did it.
Yeah.
You up and did it. So we've been doing quite a bit. But I think it's been a hectic week for everyone, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Maybe not Dennis. I didn't ask him. I like hearing that though.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was. I'm not gonna discount that, but at any rate, what do you have for us, Jim?
Well, I don't have anything of my own that I wanted to share.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a cover. William Stafford's Traveling Through the Dark.
Perfect.
Traveling through the dark, I found the deer dead on the edge of the Wilson River Road. It is usually best to roll them into the canyon. That road is narrow. To swerve might make more dead. By the glow of the taillight, I stumbled back of the car and stood by the heap. A doe, a recent killing. She had stiffened already, almost cold. I dragged her off. She was large in the belly. My fingers touching her side brought me the reason. Her side was warm. Her fawn lay there waiting, alive, still, never to be born. Beside that mountain road, I hesitated. The car aimed ahead, its lowered parking lights. Under the hood purred the steady engine. I stood in the glare of the warm exhaust turning red. Around our group, I could hear the wilderness listen. I thought hard for us all, my only swerving, then pushed her over the edge into the river. End of poem.
Very, very nice. I enjoyed the read there, man, and good morbid ending.
Well, that's one of the poems I've actually liked from this collection I have.
Yeah.
There's a few of them I like, and that's one of them. I just like the way he reads.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for sharing. Are you going to be calling back for the return engagement, or do you think you'll have the time?
Don't have to be in tomorrow morning.
Excellent.
And I'm going to be doing another cover.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep.
All right.
All right. We'll be amped and prepared for it, okay?
All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Jim. And that was Jim Collin from Pennsylvania, the land of the otter. Is that not the land of the...
No, probably not either.
Damn it.
You have better luck with that in,
There's a lot of rivers there, man.
Yeah, but...
I say,
now you're being very specific on what type of otter.
Home of the beaver. Does that work?
As in Justin?
No, not Justin Beaver.
Oh, you said beaver the animal, not beaver the person.
Although I will say, I've heard there's on the rise, there's a lot of people with beaver fever. I've been hearing that. It's a fever from beavers.
Oh, probably.
You know, you got to watch those beavers. Hey, let's go to someone we haven't talked to in a while, and I'm so excited to see her name here on the list, and I'm excited to catch up with her and see how she's doing. Let's go to Ola in Oregon. Ola, are you there?
I am.
Well, hello. Welcome back. It's Michael.
Thank you. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Thank you. JT and I were really happy to see that you called back in. We were, we'd seen you kind of pop on, I think, occasionally every now and then, and we were hoping to hear from you again. So thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
So what's been going on?
It's been so long since I called. Well, I've been really busy and a lot of stuff happening.
Understood.
But I was moving some archives and I found some things that I thought you guys might enjoy.
Perfect.
Oh, cool.
So here I am.
Okay. Well, wonderful.
But it's been so long since I called in, I couldn't remember how to do it.
It's sometimes we don't remember it. It's just been a week, Ola, gotta be honest.
Yeah. Okay, so this is called Indian Summer.
Okay.
A crisp, clear morning, a dusting of frost. Soon the leaves will begin to deepen, their color turning red and gold. A silent pause. The morning sun brings the piercing blaze of the golden days of fall. As I approach the autumn of my life, I begin to feel the weight of time. I see the deepening color around me, and I wonder, do the leaves feel this same heaviness? Do they look wistfully back at the fiery hot blaze of summer? Are the trees aware of their burden? Do they know? Were they aware when their sap ran furious, when their blossoms opened in riotous profusion? When their fruit ripened, clinging to the precipice, arrogant, immortal, sure of divinity, powerful, proud, and vain, until your heart is broken, you could not know love. You must let yourself fall. End poem.
It's a beautiful piece, Ola.
Thank you.
And I can't remember.
It's
that
time of year.
It is that time of year, that's for sure, except it's not really happening here in Denver. But now, forgive me.
You'll get it.
Oh,
oh, yeah.
We probably will. Did you read that on the show once before, a long time ago? Am I imagining
Gosh,
that?
Gosh, not that I remember.
Okay, maybe I'm just imagining
Not that I remember.
Okay.
I might have. I'm moving stuff from one site to another, and I can't remember what I read on the show and what I couldn't. But I really liked this one, and it was appropriate for the season. And
yeah.
So. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, we can tell why you liked it. It's very, very nice.
Thank you.
So,
you guys have a nice evening.
Hey, you too, Ola. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Ola calling from Oregon. Voice, a blast from the past. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now let's go down to someone. I'm actually really happy to talk to her. I want to see how she's doing and everything. Let's go to Diane in Florida. Diane, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
I didn't get dropped or anything.
I know. That's exciting. I was waiting for this to happen, and it didn't happen. So.
I know. Oh, forgive me. I need to turn my thing down.
That's okay.
My volume.
I've been told that so many times in my life. It's Michael, you need to turn whatever that thing is down. My personality? Yes, your personality, Michael.
Okay.
So how are you, by the way? Well, I'm just going to butt right in and just ask you, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm really tired. I'm working a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I think I heard last week y'all were a bit concerned about the hurricane and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And,
we were. you're just like, psh, whatever.
Yeah, I live in Kansas now.
on purpose or because of the wind?
I know, I got
it's funny. JT and I hang out in Munchkin land, so we're right around the corner.
No, forgive me. No, I think what was very strange about it is that last year, about this time, there was a much more mild hurricane that happened. And I remember everybody being concerned, and it never even came near Tampa. I think we had, just a couple of drizzles or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So this year, when Irma was coming, everybody was saying, not a big deal. It's going to hit the Keys. It's going to hit, and they expected it to go up the East Coast.
Yeah.
The night before, all of a sudden, I was out with the boyfriend, and he's somebody who lost everything in Katrina.
Oh.
In 2005, I didn't live in the States in 2005, so I missed Katrina. But he was all of a sudden they were saying that the eye was going to be right over Tampa. He was telling me that he was going to lose all his cars again and all his stuff. And I came home just like, oh my God. But what was funny is my one brother I have another brother. I have a lot of brothers. I have another brother who lives north of here. In a beautiful place called the Villages. So what wound up happening is I wound up driving up Saturday night, and basically for me it was a little bit of a nice vacation, mini vacation. I got to spend time with he and his wife, and my other brother, and just kind of catch up on family things and stuff. In the meantime, a lot of drama was going on down here and such. The electricity where I normally live was out for like 8 or 9 days.
Oh, nice.
On top of that, the air conditioner broke.
Oh.
So when I finally came back, I had to check into a hotel for 3 days.
Oh, come on.
I know, it was brutal. I'll tell you, it was horrible. And we're back. And, yeah, I'm not really in Kansas. I hope you all didn't believe that.
Oh, well, okay, we're not right around the corner then. I was really hoping. I have an ex-wife. I was hoping you'd drop a house on.
I'm going
to
drop down the
I'm kidding. I would never want that to happen to my ex-wife.
Hawaiian punch. Okay.
I haven't talked to her in years.
It's okay, Diane. Just go. You're okay.
Fun. You know what? It's really been a week from hell in many ways, and you guys always cheer me up.
Oh, good.
So thank you for anyway, I have a really depressing poem to read. I thought y'all would like that.
Okay.
Just as a little bit of background, the strange political scene that we all live in. where we were all kind of going on and on about whether the NBA players should all be kneeling or not. I have a friend in South Africa who kind of jerked me awake. And it had to do with the Korea situation. He made me realize that there were people that live on that side of the world, whereas here in the U.S., we're not really, you know, we're all concerned about football players and stuff. On that side of the world, he said, you know, there are people that cannot sleep tonight because they're worried about World War III. And so that became the theme for my poem for the garden this week. It is called The Tree at the End of the World. And I started with a quote. No tree, it is said, can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell. And that's by C.J. Young, Dr. Young. It still stands, the tree, a mute spectral relic of days gone by when it held such verdant and beautiful color, green leaves in summer, flowered colors in the autumn. Now it is just a skeletal reminder of just what we've done, what we've wrought. If there was once a tree of knowledge, if there was ever a time when wisdom could have ruled the hotheads that we became, perhaps the tree would have been able to warn us if we had listened. Listen to a quiet rustle of branches on a beautiful summer day. Now we simply hear the sound of a cold wind whistling through dead branches, which still cling and hang on as we do, without hope, but still, we cling to this sad parody that life has become. As a nuclear winter slowly takes over the land and the skies, we still gather and look up as if there's still something to see. But the clouds are gray and hang low. The silt that coats everything cannot be washed away. The stars are an impossible dream. Some still pray, some still hide, but no one hopes any longer. After the energy failed, after the news shut off, after the last vestige of our modern lives was finally ripped away, there was so much grief, so much loss, so much life lost. But if today we could go back and regain a small part of what we lost, if there were some way to have knowledge of what we would do and become, then that's a piece of fruit I would gladly bite into, original sin or no. As I write this, I wonder if it will make a difference in some unforeseen future. The past cannot be undone. The future is always an unknown country. If only we'd known. The end. Next time I'll end with a limerick.
There once was a man from There once was a man from Poyang. No, okay. No North Korea poetry. I've been warned. None.
Oh.
Especially since my brother right now is on tour in Japan. And
that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah. Apology.
No, it's okay.
From him.
You know, but that's what my friend in South Africa was, you know.
Yeah.
You tend to be, and I've forgotten because I've lived outside the country, and I know how insular we are in America.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the rest of the world are smaller countries, the same size of states. And they tend to be a lot more aware of what's going on in other parts of the world than we tend to be.
Yep. Well, I mean, can you blame us? We have people actually, you know, trying to control the narrative through all kinds of weird, you know, from every side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was one of the strange things that I'm witnessing, and I don't know, Michael, you probably see this more often. You're a teacher.
Yeah.
But, and this is just kind of a little aside thing. When I was a kid. And forgive me, I know I'm a little bit all over the place here. My mother set standards on what we were allowed to read.
Right.
And one of the things that always made me laugh, one of the Men in Black.
Okay.
It's how the real truth is happening in these terrible rags.
Yeah.
And my mother would let me read, but I used to sneak on vacation when I went.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, I keep meeting young people that are telling me these totally made-up alternative ideas about history. And it blows my mind that they actually believe the things that they relate to me.
Yeah.
And some of these are not kids. Some of these are people in their 30s and such.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering if at some point, because we started making fun of it in movies and started, you know, the whole world has become sort of like a fantastical fantasy land. I'm just wondering how much we've all lost touch with a real reality. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
About the young. I do worry about the young.
So what you're saying is that my target market for my alternative atlas of the United States should be younger people.
Everybody. No, everybody. Everybody's making it all up. I'm saying that we should target them with a real history.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
if there is.
Yeah, see, that's where it gets touchy, Diex. It depends on which point of view you're, you know, since this is a show about poetry, this fits perfectly. There was a guy named Glenn Jones, who was a cable industry billionaire who lived out here in Denver. And I had the pleasure to get to meet him. And one of the things that was kind of funny about him was he had published books of poetry, but he, I don't think he could sell them, so he would just give them out to every employee that started there. And everybody just thought it was really dumb, you know, because, you know, that's how salespeople are and whatever. And I remember sitting there reading it, and there were two poems on each opposing page. I just flipped it open one day, and I read it after I'd met him, and it said, one of them was, today I became a millionaire and felt nothing. What now? And the second page was, the man stood in the arena and yelled, what is the truth? And a voice came from everywhere in the arena and said, where are you standing? And I thought, that's a pretty good one.
Very powerful. I hope that people will remember him later for his poetry.
I hope so. He passed away, about 4 years ago? Maybe five years ago? Something like that. Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Four years ago. So hopefully it'd be good to see if I can find some. I don't think I have it anymore, but it's been a long time.
Wow. That's just how even two small pages of a man's life are going to stay with you.
Yeah.
And you'll probably repeat that. You've told us you'll probably repeat that story to many of your students.
Well, I'm the kind of guy who repeats the same story to the same people every time. So, you know, that's.
Yeah. But you know what? By handing you his poetry and your memories of those two pages you've read, the man's already living.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's true.
I don't know if that made sense.
No, it totally does. Sense.
It totally does.
Yeah. So,
wow.
I hope that someday whatever I've written will touch somebody that way. That's a pretty strong thing right there.
Yeah, that's true. I hope that all of us can have work like that, you know.
Yeah, I'm writing a screenplay. It's about a radio show.
Yeah, does it have two incredibly good-looking guys who host it?
Actually, there are two aliens, but nobody knows that because.
How did you guess, Diane? It's like you're.
I know. Yes, P. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to take up all your time,
but I did
want to unbreak that tree mood. But thank you so much, and thank you so much for your concern too. There's been a lot of damage here in Florida, but I think now all of our eyes and prayers should be on Puerto Rico. What they're going through.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So, anyway, God bless you guys, and I'll go now and get back to my script.
All right. Get to work, damn it. Get to work.
All right.
Thanks, Diane.
Okay. God bless y'all.
Bless
God,
you too.
Take care.
And that was Diane calling from Florida, where it all happens.
Yes. See, now that fits.
You think so?
Yes.
That works?
It fits. I don't say if it works. It just fits.
Okay. I get where you're going with this. I think I can understand that. All right. Hey.
You have a submission?
Hey, I do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
All right.
So it was like you could read my mind.
Yeah. It's written in front of my face.
Son of a... Okay.
Got to look good. Just kidding.
Gotta read, Michael. Gotta read. Okay. All right. So this one is a submission from Fempa Akwete. I think Fempa Koyesh is how is his pen name. So maybe I'll have to clarify with him which one he likes. Here's the note he sent. Hello. Greetings to all listeners and yourselves. I hope all is well. This is a piece I wrote a year ago. I would love it to be read and also added submission for the anthology. Okay, so that's a note that doesn't really matter about this, but I think he's going to be in the anthology, which is exciting.
Yes. And
we'll have to see if we can hook up that other thing we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. But this one it's not too long. It's called Women Like Wine. Women like wine. Men as wine bibbers. Yet how many bottles or gallons can they drink to make them sober? because each differ with different alcoholic percentages and different bottle shapes and sizes, numerous colors and tastes, diverse strengths, some calm, some harsh. But which can their problems and depressions hush? Women as mine, women as wine, men like wine bibbers. To find the one that sobers faster, you need to take in a lot of shots of the one that does not. Most that make you lose your stamina, makes you sway as a flexible stemmed tree, leaving you staggering like a pendulum. And that was by Fampa Koyish from 2016, Women Like Wine. Interesting stuff, man.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Okay, so, Fampa, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. If you are listening and you would like to submit poetry to us, you can do it any time in the week, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and just say submission for show or something like that. If you want to still submit something to be included in our anthology for 2017, you have until Halloween, basically the
yep.
end of October, to send it in and just include anthology submission or submission for anthology. Send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or you can just put it into the submission form on our website and hit send, and that'll work. All right, let's get ready for our second segment. We need five more unique callers, so if you didn't get through last time, you want to get ready. And then just give us a call at 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or if you want to call us on Skype, just go into Skype and look up the username World Poetry Open Mic and give us a call that way.
All one word.
All one word. All right, we'll see you in a minute.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot, hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time when you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And like a prom dress, we're off.
No, we're still
Wait,
on.
We're on. I'm sorry.
We're still
it's
on.
Never coming on. All right. We're back here in the second segment. We have five. Actually, we have six.
Because
six callers, because we had a new caller call in, kind of an intercontinental thing, and JT rightly so made the executive decision to have a number six, and we'll be announcing him when it comes
it's
up.
It's kind of a one-time deal.
Well, I mean, a first-time deal. We hope it's not a one-time deal.
I think he's called before.
I don't think he has.
Really?
I think it's the first night. And
maybe
I think
the connection died.
Friends with Diane.
That's right.
Friends with Diane. So, at any rate, here we are, and this is going to be very, very exciting.
Do you have another?
I do have another one.
You do have another?
I do. It is called Hymn de Neutralité. It is dedicated to a sonnet dedicated to the Kurdistan referendum for which the author has shown their neutrality. Here it goes. To those who asked about my belonging, I say identity doesn't matter much this time, as silence is the voice of every sage when you're living amid the disputes of an absurd age and unable to leave that huge cage, nor catching a light of hope with those people of rage. It is better to move with that turning page. As history won't stop for us, and to my friends of great hopes, desires sometimes clash with high walls, after which every gallant stalls, as hell cannot see the differences of our blood or beliefs, nor I can throw my neighbors and brothers into that Hades, as all what I seek is neutrality and peace of mind. And that was written on the 25th of this month at 8:31 a.m., from the second Divan Belle de la Faculté, from Nadwan Hamed. Nadwan Hamed. I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to mispronounce his last name. Nadwan, it's been a while since you sent something in. We always love having your work. Thank you so much. That was Hymn de la Neutralité. All right, now we're going to another place that speaks primarily French. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
Okay, that threw me off. Sorry.
It's okay that I...
You're all good.
That's what it was.
We probably surprised him, too.
Oh, indeed, yes. you have.
Yes, I had to make that. Yes, touche. How are you? How you doing, Philip? On guard. Where? Where?
Now I'm like a dog, and you're trying to play fetch with me, and I keep looking, and you don't throw the ball. I'm like,
it's weird.
Know, my head's turning to the right or left.
You're like a dog, and I'm trying to play fetch with you, but then I'm getting distracting myself with the ball, and now it's just a mess. So,
alas, what can I say?
Hey, what can we say collectively? How you doing, Philip?
How am I doing? I have been ornery lately, sir. Yeah, I don't know if it's the weather, the moon, you know.
It could be.
It could be my time of the month, you know, blame it on something. I don't know.
Your ornery time of the month?
It must be, you know. Yeah. I don't know. All I've been doing is sleeping like a bear. I can feel like autumn coming on, and then when I'm awake, I'm just grouchy. I'm like, getting you.
That's
know,
what
so.
I was like this week. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to be a lot more patient than I do, or at least show a better face than I do. I mean, you're out there in the public, you know. If I were out there in the public, I mean, it wouldn't take long to go, this boy is crazy. Just, you know, get him out of here.
I'm totally, and this is, JT, I'm going to break a slight rule on this show about the language thing, but I think it matters. So school is over. Well, no, I can do it without.
Okay.
I can do it without. JT, you should see the look JT's giving me. So I finish. I'm sitting there after school, and you know, I'd had a good day, and the appearance of a good day. And someone comes up to me and goes, one of the teachers, "How'd your day go?" I go, "I don't know, man. Kids are blank holes." That's
right.
that was my quote this week. But I digress. I digress, Philip. Anyway,
that's quite right. They do test your patience, you know, and you know.
And I was so much worse at their age. I was so much worse.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe you're just hard on yourself. I don't know.
I talked my way onto a Black Hawk helicopter in eighth grade.
Did you really?
Yes,
well,
I did.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I don't know how I did that. Anyway.
And that's why I'm not right in the head. The first thing that comes to my mind is Jeffrey Dahmer got to talk his class into the White House, into the Oval Office, I believe, because he called and made a sympathetic request, and they felt sorry for him. And I'm like, oh, brother, why do I know crap like that, right? Time to go back to bed.
That is a fact that I did not know, and now somehow we'll find a reason to share in the next 48 hours.
Right? I mean, that's just wrong. Why would you know that? Alas, poor York. All right,
anyway.
I will get to my piece, and so I can, you know, let some other folks get on here and be happy. All right, here we go. This is the one I posted today, if anyone is interested. long title, and we'll see how it goes. All right. Stipulating the inherent difficulties of directorial choices as exemplified by sketching out storyboard sequences leading up to a seductive first kiss. And here we go. She suggestively caressed a random library book, old as last century, taken down haphazard among rarely visited stacks, built back then like naked scaffolding when novels innately implied quixotic romances. Dulcet voiced Dulcinea housed inside these university monuments, whose stoic edifices, chiseled in granite, always read with a stuffy dullness, the pompous opening paragraphs familiar among literary students. Watched her in slow motion, seated among classical echoes and icy air-conditioned marble, a remarkable face bathed by yellowed summers, fallen balmy and wind-swept through windows crisp as lettuce. Raised in a delicate hand, the volume pressed to her nose, insisting how much this smell reminisces love and naivete. The ones we adore, never by choice. Isn't this the purpose of epitaphs? Making atemporal what is ephemeral, purity kept in permanence, as though one lugs memories made from alabaster innocence. Remains worthy of urns, which in Greek, according to Chapman's Homer, translates as uncommon ashtray. And there it is, my friends.
Philip, that was actually a beautiful piece. Sorry about interrupting like that. I don't know what the hell went down over on our end, but was very nice.
Well, very kind of you. Cheers to you both, and until the next engagement, yes.
Absolutely.
Right. We shall return. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Philip. Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky, land of what? What do you think?
Enamel bathtubs is what you've been going
No,
with,
that was just something it was famous for.
Kentucky?
Land of Kentucky. Kentucky. Land of Kentucky.
Okay.
Land of lakes. No? Because it's not.
That sounds like butter.
So that means it's like Barbara Streisand.
It's like butter. Like butter.
Kentucky, it's like butter.
Oh,
let's go to...
I am so sorry, people.
Let's go to Ohio, a place where they like dress well and they have amazing food.
Butter.
Let's go to Mama Oladeji.
Mama ready.
Hello, how are you?
I could be doing better, but I won't complain because it does no good at all.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I can respect that. I can respect that. Well,
how are you doing?
You know, we're doing well. I think JT's doing pretty solid. I think he's putting up with me pretty well, which I appreciate.
Okay, well, that's always a good thing to tolerate.
We hope so. I appreciate his tolerance. I think that's a big point. So, Mama, how about this? So I don't get off on a weird tangent, which I've been doing all night long. How about I let you read and then we'll talk after, okay?
That's okay. You know, it's always good time for pregnant pauses. All right, listen, this is one of the ones I sent you for the anthology, and I hope you like it because I tried to send you the best one lately, the one that I got the most feedback on that people seem to really like. So I wanted the anthology to be good, be a success. So I hope this is one that you can use. I sent you two. This one's called I Heard the Wise Words. It goes like this. The day wise words were spoken, it was over near the beaten path where I first heard them uttered. The fool in his folly, who may be clever in presenting his story, only for the seeking of his own glory, leading the blind to purgatory. Some had come to seek fortune. Some had followed the path for sexual pleasures. Glory seekers were there as well, some with dubious mindsets. It was here they could receive. It was here they could receive every hit of, oh my God. It was here. Some with dubious mindsets. It was here they could receive every hedonistic pleasure sought. Tongues were fiercely wagging. There was also the laying on of hands. Maybe I was a self-seeker who had stood in the crossroads, observing too long. The cesspool was filled with money grubbers who had come to trade favors with the innocent ones. Who had come there under hypnotic spell, cast down by some grandmothers from multitudes. Poverty and ignorance drove others. Though they had come from near and far, the spirit of guilt and shame left them tortured and feeling even more of an execrable outcast. Now that the nearly redeemed felt closer to salvation, they stood with the condemners and became judges of other struggling souls. The trail was well traveled and it led into the wooded area. And I wanted to go all the way this time, no turning back. I am not one of the worldly people. And I am not one of the jaded people. And I'm not one of the religious people. And I'm not one of the big brains, nor am I innocent or unblamed. Nothing agrees with me. I do not fit in anywhere. I do not believe any of them. I stand there, and this is as far as I've gotten. I hear the braying of a lame mule that is someone is tied to the stake. Some horrible, unclean spirit rushes by me, leaving a thick burning in my nostrils. They mumble something concerning the last altar call. And the torment of not belonging pierced me like an arrow. I felt I could not be any more spiritually depleted than I already was. The wise messages, the warnings, yet I was not like anyone. Neither was I conditioned to be. Curiosity led me the rest of the way. Hidden in the woods was a shrine, a small church, and an old rugged cross. Seeking God and self simultaneously was no easy feat. There had been no pronouncement of purpose. So I leaned on my own logic. The wise words replayed in my head, beware of the fool and his folly, who may be clever in presenting his story only for the seeking of his own glory, leading the blind to purgatory. These people do not walk the straight and or the narrow. They go on as if their monetary wealth allows them to rule without authority, as if they had inherited some godlike seniority. As they condemn, they become louder and prouder, parroting hearsay without humility, preachers and pulpits and altars calling for one more dollar from the spiritually depleted, picking the pockets of broke pockets, wrongly decoding original words, and I turn back. I turn back. I walk back past the clever fool. I walk past the lame mule. This time I march winsomely past the horribly unclean, back to the crossroads, back to being that unslotted, non-stigmatized, uncharted, unqualified, uncategorized, the one unique woman who stopped trying to find herself, as I now remain lost in my own thoughts. In peace.
Wow, Mama. You know, maybe we could try that one again with a little bit more passion. You know, that's a no, no, Mama. That was great. That was wonderful, and
it was really good.
A really powerful piece.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and it's kind of a little messed up for the playback, but it'll be good for the book.
Hey, you know what? We're looking forward to it with the book, and I'll just throw out something. Mr. JT here is a absolute genius when it comes to editing. I can't promise anything, but if there's something special that can be done, he'll figure it out.
Well, if it's okay, I did edit it, and if it's not okay, I'll be glad for him to do further editing. No problem.
Oh, I meant audio editing with that, so you wouldn't have to think about the read just now. That's all I mean. Yeah, no, I'm not going to edit your actual poetry, Mama. That's that idea to me, like just the mention of that and the thought of that now makes me angry. Like that someone would do that. So no, I will not do that to your work.
Edit your work.
I will not do that to your work. I promise.
Your work was great.
Well, I'm glad you all enjoyed that piece, and I think you know that's one of my favorites of my later pieces. So you know, the message is just don't be afraid to be yourself. You know. Sometimes you can just follow people into, you get yourself into a mess, you know.
Yeah.
It's a simple message, but it did take a lot of passion to create that, make sure that thought was driven home.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Mama Ola Day-G. So we try that again. Mama Ola Day-G.
Wow.
Calling from Ohio. I know how to say her name. My mouth is just...
I know.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Irish wristwatch.
Unique New York. Unique New York. The human torch was denied a bank loan.
There we go.
Okay.
I don't know how that's a tongue twister.
Ribs. I had ribs for lunch. That's why I'm doing this. Okay. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. All right. Hey, let's go to Sinister in Missouri, who just sent me a message. Hey, Sinister, how you doing? I just saw your message, but you're actually on the air as well.
Yeah, I was just messaging. I have no audio, so I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, that's strange.
Halfway through my piece, there, and when it went, so I was like, you guys lose contact or what?
Yeah, we got you. I think it looks like we're still going. If everybody's in the everybody in the chat room, if you can still hear us, send us a message here. But I think they still can. But anyway, at any rate, you're on the air one way or another. How's it going?
It's probably just me out in the studio. And I don't get great reception here.
Fair enough.
It's going, and I'm putting things back together. I just got in here and cleaned this up and put my little station back together and put a little sketch and concept art for the easel and canvases I'm going to be getting next week. And
very nice.
Got the kitchen almost done, remodeled, took a week vacation, and we're getting there. Put it all back together, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. It's good to hear that, man. What do you have for us?
I got this piece sitting out here cleaning up. I remember writing it. I don't remember where it was, and I found it, and I'm not quite sure if it's done, but I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. It's called Infernal Decay. Walk off the ledge of comfort to rapidly descend into this hell. I taste death with every swallow as I'm inundated here in life's decay, radiantly violent in this paralyzed winter, showcasing all in me that's gone. So peculiar. Now, the finer attributes can have home in deplorable souls to shine like decadent visages, yet in actuality, just a grotesque show. See, the gallery is clamoring as the podium doesn't have enough space. I've never taken fully tally of these multitudes I hide, which lack face. Rendered in solitude, no tome, is opposite the affliction bleeding from me in spades. What rapture has befallen my boundaries and penned for the fallout of nuclear shame? Crushed emotional bystanders, I can't avoid the pain my soul saw into the black beyond disasters, though indifferent. With perplexion of the lunatic brain haze, drowning behind desert retinas, I rupture soft-headed sighs of my refrain. Weakened postures of rationalized fortitude where the man I was took claim. Believe it's how I'm succumbing to death's cradle song, always on replay. Pages scratched, crumpled, or set ablaze, alluring in a fiery pen shame. Cash's final check in the aftermath of my departure from the scene. Rotating now in a cubicle of rage, I'm retarded parrot talk show. Speaking my wayward travesty and light. That lighthouse to hone to come about. That's not safe. Calm of the cackling hysteria, so quiet though, loud burdens of weight shaking me to the shamble of tyranny and isolated relays. Perhaps there is no salvation. It's all just infinite, eternal decay. And peace.
Powerful as always, Sinister.
I'm reading my own writing. I can't fucking do that, man.
Fair enough, man. Hey, we appreciate it. We appreciate you, and we're glad you joined us again.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. I just needed to read. It's been a while.
It's all right, man. We're happy to have you, and anytime. So we'll hope to talk to you on the return engagement.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, too. I'd like to get one more in.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Fair enough. So, we'll head into the next segment. I think maybe so. We'll have to figure out how that's going. We'll look at the chat in the chat room, see if we're going to go for another segment or for return engagement. So, it'll be posted.
Hi, everyone. I don't have chat on this fucking phone, and my tablet's dead. So,
all right, fair enough. All right, man. Thanks so much, Sinister. Appreciate it, man. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri. Dropping it down. Spinning around, making some butter. Frying it up.
What? Wait, what?
Burning my pans.
You're burning your pants?
My pans.
Oh, your
pans.
Pans.
Not T-S, N-S. Pans, not pence. We're a little loopy right now.
We are oddly loopy.
It's been a weird week, man. I don't know what it is, but everything's felt off. And people are like, well, something's in retrograde. And I'm like, I don't really care.
Never mind.
I don't think anything's in
retrograde. It's okay.
You know, it's a thing. All right, let's go to this person is really good at calming us down.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver. Cynthia, are you there? Are you there, Cynthia?
Hello. I'm here.
Okay. We just came on.
Yay.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm having the kind of week you guys are having.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, I actually thought, did we change the clock? Because I feel totally off. Like.
Oh, yeah.
But, partly it's because I was in this really, really beautiful place. I had to drive like through an industrial area with all these people and the rain and the train was stuck in tracks, all this stuff to get to this really beautiful place. But we had to stay inside for meetings and work.
Oh.
And I'm like, then they wasn't. I'm like, I just want to walk in the mountains. But I had to drive them all back and come home. So.
You didn't leave them there so you could go drive around the mountains? That's very good.
I'm just like, I just want to run through the trees and breathe in the mist. And we're in this really beautiful place, and I don't want to sit here and care about the work-related stuff we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I understand that. That makes a lot of sense.
I have a pretty great life, but that's what I'm complaining about.
I feel the same, though. I have a lot of great things going on, too, and,
Yeah. Poor me, the view was really nice while I was at work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how terrible. I'm so sorry for you, Cynthia. Anyway, let's focus on good stuff. Let's focus on poetry.
Yeah, well, poetry open mic and stuff. So I'm going to do a cover of the Poet of the Month.
Okay.
So this is his poem, All Is Safe. Flow water, the blue water, little birds of foam, singing on thee. Oh, flow, water, blue water, little stars falling asleep to thy tossing. Oh, flow, water, the blue water, what matters any sorrow? It is lost in thee. Little times, little men, what matters? They are safe in thee. Oh, flow, water, blue water, all is safe in thee. Little birds, the shadows of maidens, safe in thy singing. End poem.
See, that's the peaceful stuff I was talking about, JT.
Yes.
That's the beautiful delivery. Very, very nice, Cynthia. Thank you. We really do enjoy
thank
those.
You. And also with the Poet of the Month and having seen the mountains on Sunday, I'm going back up to the mountains.
Are you good?
Good.
Because he's...
Yeah, just to walk in them and experience all that.
He has such an interesting way of writing. I was mentioning to JT earlier... It's funny because, you know, that the little part of my mind that can go off on verse and kind of make everything a joke and make everything kind of ridiculous, it's so easily activated listening to Pachin, but at the same time, you know, he kind of turns phrase so quickly or so abruptly and so expertly that it doesn't work. You know, I can't quite, I can't actually make fun of it because he does it so well. It's like, oh, never mind. The thing I could have caught on to is, has been circumvented beautifully.
And I love that line, little star is falling asleep.
Yes. Isn't it? He's got a lot of great stuff. It really is beautiful. And he writes with a lot of stunning work. I read his first, and then I was given as a gift by my parents when I was maybe 12, 13 years old. I was given a book of surrealist poetry, which is a lot different than Kenneth Pachin, I got to be honest. But at any rate, Cynthia, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
Always. Always, Will. Thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, where she is about to go running through the trees in the mist and hopefully not getting pneumonia.
Lucky her.
Lucky her. Mary, from Arizona, could you give us a call? We think you got disconnected. So anyway, JT, let's talk about something to see if Mary actually heard us.
Okay.
Okay. And if not, it's okay. We can just move. We'll move on. But so what are your plans for your birthday? I mean, are you the kind of person who makes plans for the year ahead when you have a birthday?
No. No, I typically don't. I don't think it's a thing to look for me.
Okay.
I think it's not my responsibility, it's somebody else's to remember my birthday.
It's someone else's responsibility to remember your birthday. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey Mary, how's it going?
So good, you know. Is it midnight yet? Can we do it after dark? No, I have to keep it clean.
You gotta keep it clean. Come on, Mary.
I gotta keep it clean. I'm Jimmy Durante. I got a big nose this time. You know, I gotta go.
Yeah. There's no way around it.
All right. It's fall. It's fall here, and I'm writing. I don't know if that's a good thing, bad thing.
Please, how fall is it in Arizona, Mary? Tell me about fall.
Oh, shut up. Shut the F up. You know, it's 60 degrees and I'm cold.
All right.
Please forgive me, please.
Oh, yeah.
You got to snort. Okay. I'm going to read a poem I wrote.
Okay.
Here I go. Lingering with a tinge of wallow, like I do. I know life is happenstance, and even catastrophes occur in good times. A series of levels is seeked by most, emerging through each as if a metamorphosis, as surely as we are changed at each growing pain and juncture and curve. Some chapters are horrible. Page burners, close the book, drive away quickly. Some linger long after they've been sealed and completed. A few blessed memories tie those like me through each day as it begins new mountain bases and reviews. But though my inner strength remains so strong, my endurance now and my stamina elusive and momentary at best. How many chapters is enough? How many can we get out of here? And then I remember again for the Alzheimer's time that my time here is short, ever shortening. How I lengthen the visions and the tubules still left of worth to me remains key. Tests of time never signed up for, yet each unfurl of my new wing gives me the will to go on, and at least a Mona Lisa smile at each new morning's light. End poem.
That's very, very nice. JT, what'd you think?
Yeah, I love you guys.
We love you too.
I like to write and I like to share it with you and to have this venue to do it all. You know, let's go on. Next one.
Mary, you're awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome and thank you.
Of course. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona. Wow. Now, I was a little dubious about the fall in Arizona thing. You know? It's like someone saying...
What did she say the temp was?
60s. So, I mean, it's really...
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of around where we've been a little bit.
Yeah, all week.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It's nice.
So, it's... But it to me, it was kind of along the lines of hearing someone go, I love the fall, the turning of the leaves, and the bite in the air. Where do you live again? Santa Barbara. It's like, you know. Anyway. All right. So we had a technical issue, shall we say?
Yeah.
And I believe it was Raj who had called in.
I think so.
We didn't actually have it written down here. So the call did get disconnected. So, Raj, if you got disconnected, try giving us a call back, and we can give you, 30 seconds, something like that, 40 seconds to try to do so. Otherwise, we can just try to make it happen in another segment. Now, JT, I'm going to look at the chat room here.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an eyeball judgment here. Give me one second.
I think we're okay to go into the next. I think we're okay.
Yeah, looking at it here, it looks like we've really hit almost everybody in here.
Yep.
So let's do this. Since we haven't seen anything from Raj, that's okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we get ready and let's go for a return engagement. What do you think?
That sounds good.
All right, we're going to do this. So return engagement, that means you can call in again, whether you have already called in tonight or whether you have yet to call in and you want to share something. The number is 720-240-9766.
Number again is 720-240-9766.
Or give us a call on Skype at World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And I'm back?
Yes.
JT is definitely back.
Yes.
I'm still trying to make sure I am.
I think you are.
Ouch. I feel back.
Okay.
Okay. Just had to, Anyway, we're back here. Return engagement. We had Sinister Con. He's a bit down the line here, but we did lose him. But anyway, we'll start at the top, and then maybe we can correct it as we go down.
Okay.
Let's go first of all to the UK for Titus. Titus. Good morning
again.
Yes,
I'm here waiting patiently for you.
Well, thank you for that. Very appreciated.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We're always happy to. So you're leading off this segment, so I'll let you take the stage, and then we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. This is a dedication to my mentor, Andre Ben-Yu. It's called O Masterful Magician, Dignitary Mentor. Apollo, O Masterful Magician, it's my delight in knowing you. Never too late to reach so great a compliment. I refer to Defender of the Oracle, God of Light, attain thee all this truth. Recite your harps convey this intermediary role you soothe. Ephemeral as the gifts of prophecy prolongs you an esquire. Beyond reach of the stars, supinely do I lay. I fetch you, sire. Eloquent gaze so bright, so pure, would comprise a display naively, my guide Andre, with sonorous sounds so heavenly. Yet diminished free from she will focus on healing and prophecy, accompany your muse, a Cythera, upon unduly lay, that I may ask Cleo to cross your hand and play. The god of many things, poetry, the knowledge of Arthwing, nothing, and I mean nothing, can replace, I beseech no rivalry. Julie, centre of the earth, Delphi, with the Titan Leto quietly ruminating, an important remedy each is privately speaking, each to their own, as they say, a friendly exchange is chivalry. blatantly obscure since the Greek legends have left for us eons, are sifted to placate the last and redeeming lost services, numerate their each instruction that is thorough their mercies. Yana honors Apollon Musjets do necessitate thus, emancipating both desire by our thoughts to freely acquire hedonism seeks attribute, through listening, learning to inspire, unilaterally your fragrance lives on, wiser words for purpose. And that's it. I have to apologize to many people that I am an old world poet. It doesn't really gel with a lot of people. But Andre is actually very similar to me, and we actually call each other by Greek.
Well, so we're having technical difficulties here. I don't know if Titus can. Oh, Titus, are you there?
Okay.
All right. Yes,
I'm here.
You had actually you cut out for just a few seconds in the middle of the poem again, and then just okay. Now you had passed out.
passed out.
Not passed out, obviously.
The connection
had a problem right after you had said you referred to each other by Greek, and then it just went away.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just that. He calls me after some of these philosophers, and I do him, and we're very much into the old Greek school.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm very much into the old Greek school myself. So, Titus, thank you so much for everything this evening. It's been some great work.
Brilliant. Thank you for your help. Bye.
Of course. Bye. Thank you. And that was Titus calling from the UK. Just having some connection issues. Sometimes it happens. And
that ocean connection is so weird.
It's, you know, it's almost like it was hard to make a connection, you know, over, you know, a long, long distance.
Yeah.
And like oceans and stuff. I mean, it's not always that hard. I know for a fact it's not, but it's a little difficult.
Oh, no.
We're still not totally there yet.
That cable that runs from our country to the UK is...
Sometimes I feel like
massive.
I feel like when we have those things going, and occasionally when we get a call, you know, there might be a stray crab on the line. Just
yeah.
And that's what the problem is.
Those darn crabs.
Hey, crabs have been a problem for me for a long time. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, are you there?
Yes.
All right.
Wolverine State.
That's it.
No otters.
There's no otters in Michigan?
No, the Wolverines got them.
Oh, yep. Well, that's fair. Those are mean buggers. All right. Well, I'm glad you were able to return for the return engagement.
Well, yes, I am. Here I am. It's Friday night, the return engagement. I'm in the right place.
All right. Perfect. So I'm gonna give you the stage, and we'll talk after.
All right. The second poem I'm going to read is, the title is The Naked Land, and it's by Kenneth Patchen. Michael calls him Kenneth Patchen. I'm not sure why, but he's probably more correct. The Naked Land. A beast stands at my eye. I cook my senses in a dark fire. The old wounds rot, and the new mother approaches with footsteps of a world. Who are the people of this unscaled heaven? What beckons? Whose blood hallows this grim land? What slithers along the watershed of my human sleep? The other side of knowing. Caress of unwaking delight. Oh, start. Oh, a sufficient love. Oh, gently silent forms of the last spaces. End of poem.
That's a beautiful choice and a nice read again. Thank you.
He has a lot of poems to select from. He has quite a volume of work, and it's so interesting the way he writes, the imagery he throws in there, and it just makes you, opens up a new perspective, and it makes you think. And that's what good poetry does. And I appreciate him being selected as Poet of the Month again.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Of course. And we appreciate you supporting us and supporting the Poet of the Month segment as well.
Yes, and thanks for having that. That it opens my eyes to poets that I've overlooked or I've just missed, and I appreciate that. And I am going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic. It's a shame that Raj Kumar may have lost his connection, but we hope to hear him soon. But I'm going to step aside and say God bless.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from the Wolverine State.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one I agree with.
Yeah. Packed with Wolverines. Ravenous. I was going to say rabidical. Huh. Ravenous rabidical Wolverines coming to a town near you. Okay. I was just lost in thought there for a second. Let's go to the land of chocolate pencils and visit with Jim.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Awesome. We're glad you could join us again.
Yeah, thank you.
So
glad you could be here.
Well, we are too. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I was originally thinking of doing a Sandberg poem, but I decided to go with someone else.
Okay.
So it's The Negro Speaks of Rivers by Langston Hughes. I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood and human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. End the poem.
That's a very powerful choice and a powerful read as well, Jim. Thanks.
Yep. If I can make a plug for a poet that I've whose work I've read a few weeks ago.
Sure.
Okay. Rupi Kaur has a second book coming out on the 3rd.
Okay.
The Sun and Her Flowers.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, if it's anything like her first book, excellent. I would definitely recommend getting this.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, her stuff is incredible.
Hmm. All right. That sounds pretty interesting, actually. Okay. Well, everybody, you heard it here. Do you want to say the names again real quick, Jim?
Rupi Kaur. That's RupiKaur.
Okay, perfect.
And the book is called The Sun and Her Flowers.
All right. Hey, Jim, thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
All right. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, land of the... getting so confined, man.
Well, yeah.
Land of hopes and dreams.
M. Night Shyamalan movies. Every single one of them.
True. True. With the exception of one.
Oh, sorry. Last Airbender.
Boom.
So sorry.
Yep. See?
Saw Lady in the Water today, though.
Yeah. Good movie. Did you like it? Did you like that movie?
Yeah.
That thing tanked at the box office.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Anyway, great film. By the way, if any of you are at all interested in M. Night Shyamalan, there's a book detailing him making Lady in the Water from when he was one of the highest paid directors in the world, right after The Village, which had been his first little downtick, which was still super successful. And it's called who's the man who heard voices, how M. Night Shyamalan bet his career on a fairy tale and lost.
Yeah.
Great book.
So sad.
Awesome book. Well, it's not sad. It's just what an artist goes through. You got to be willing to get beat up for an idea.
No, that's fine. I just, it's sad that people don't get certain things. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Okay. I do. I was one of the few people who loved The Village, and a lot of people had a problem with it. So,
yep.
Whatever. Anyway. Okay, let's go right away to someone who I think does get art and does kind of allow that. Let's go to Stan. Hey, Stan.
Hey,
there you are. How's it going?
Well, it's going. Almost didn't make it.
I was going to say, you came out a little bit later. I'm glad you could make it.
Oh, me too. Got hung up someplace else, and it happened to be out by the river in that one area where, guess what? No service.
No. I understand.
Yeah.
Understood.
So it was grab the gear and haul ass.
Yep.
I think that'd be a great name for a book, Stan. You might want to...
Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm going to let you read, and then I'll shut up, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. This is the one I did for the garden, and it is called Remains. Imagination in spectral diversity, inspiring art. Number two, Tesla, Verne, Da Vinci, their minds' illuminations, great names throughout all times, share their imagination. Those skeletal remains are dust, still live as inspirations, forming wombs, begetting more arts, laboring toward creations. From this comes innovations in concept and in theory, arts of science, engineering, math, aligned in their unity. These arts and humanities touch invention, power creativity, and the once imagined dreams now exist, redefining our reality. Three, in the artist's eyes, visions seen beyond reality, inspiring paints flow to canvas, creating two souls. One speaks, one seeks, both search books. Words disciplined by definitions. In a sheltered of architectural parameters. Set in a world of the mystical. Space between two words. Exists in strokes of magical realism. No absolute or impossible exists in the imagination's infinite. Through inspiration's eternal, endless illuminations. Art's alive here and remains. End poem.
Wow. What a beautiful piece that was.
Man. Thank you.
Stan, it's always a breath of fresh air to have you on the show. We're so happy you're able to make it.
I am so glad to be a part of this. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, hey, we're, you know, it's something we all create together, including everybody who's listening and everybody who calls in. And, you know, it's no matter what's going on that week, it seems to kind of lift everything up, I think. And we hope it can be that way for everybody else listening, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That and the ability of us all to be able to share what we do with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said, there are certain people whose words just nail me, but there is not a single poet I have read who hasn't given me another vision as far as what I can do.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense.
And to be here with this group, the garden, oh, hey.
Yeah, very true.
You know?
Very true.
Great influences all the way around.
Man. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And you're part of that. We appreciate it, Stan. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right. And that was Stan calling all the way from Alabama. Glad he could get here to the show. That means a lot.
Yeah.
We really, and I do have to say that, you know, we do goof around on here and play around sometimes, but really, every single one of you listening, it means a lot that you you take the time to come hang out with us every Friday. I know there's a lot of things you could be doing. Friday night's kind of prime time, and you know, we definitely make the time to be here. JT, I know, you know, I mean, you have a wife upstairs.
Yep.
And you make the time every Friday evening. She makes the time every Friday evening.
Yeah.
And you know, it really does it does mean something that we all set this time aside to come together, and I'm really glad we can do that. All right. Let's go now to Ohio and Mama Oladeji. See, I could say it that time. No problem at all. No problem. Hey, Mama, you there? Oh, I wonder if we're having that problem. Hey, Mama, if you can hear us, but we're not responding to you. Oh, you're there. You're there. I hear you. Okay. Never mind then. Never mind.
Yeah, I was having the mute button on because I didn't want to come in and have it blasting on the radio.
Hey, you know what? That's smart. Smart move. Smart move, actually. So you're on the air now, and it's your turn. So I'm going to let you read. I'm going to shut up, and we'll talk after.
Okay. And it did it anyway. Okay, here we go. Syntax weapons of speech. We need the syntax orphans of Semitic speech. So here we go. Here we go. Another poem, Dawning in the Morning. The afternoon traffic of rapid rhymes and tales of times busy on the highways of our minds. Another poem, Yawning in the Evening. We poets sleep and dream well of bards banning illicit solutions. Words that are not met with locutions. Words that are dressed up fangs for the intrinsic occasion. Yet, spewing language unbefitting the syntax. Nor following the blueprints of the correct verbiage. Applauding the pretense of nonsense. So here we go. Poets journeying to the mental depths, searching to find the words correct that fixes the inept so that the meaning cures the meaningless misnomers of the illiterate, leading the thinker into delusions, guiding us away from the facts and towards the circus of illusions. Vagueness and ambiguity will cause clashes and word wrecks in this bastard language called English. Because Illuminati are not with light, but without. And what words, in other words, can they feed our minds that leads scribes into dubious thinking and doubt? And finally, not able to say what they want to say or what they mean to say, and appear as if not to know what they are talking about. Another poem, Yawning in the Evening. Another poem, Dawning in the Morning, as we bards and town criers are awakened by Gnome from the nightmarish sleep to walk amongst you or stand before you to be more assured of what we speak. In peace.
Wow. Incredibly solid once again, Mama.
I love Noam Chomsky.
Oh, I know. I, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. I can tell, but you do it so well. You do it so well, Mama, you know?
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you guys. And thank you. I'm just having a ball. Thank
well,
you so much.
That's what
and
we
thank
love.
You, thank you, chat room. I love how you are encouraging me. And, it's making me just feel so great. Thank you so much, everyone.
Wonderful. And, you know, Mama, can you believe there was actually a time before there was a chat room on this show? Can you believe that?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How did we get to communicate?
It was just over the air for a while, and then we eventually hit on the fact we needed a chat room. And it's like these little things. You start getting the show up and going, and then you start realizing this thing that seems like a really easy idea, you go ahead and you suddenly put it together, and it works so well, you think, oh, this is kind of stupid. We should have thought of this from the beginning. Chat room was one of them.
Yep.
It's coming together. As you go along, you learn a little bit more. Now we just work on the calls coming in, and then, you know, we'll have, some archives to remember without having to worry about calls dropping it. Yeah.
Well, if JT wouldn't stop pedaling on that hamster wheel that runs the power to that computer that keeps the calls on, we wouldn't have a problem. No, you know, Mama, I got to tell you, we're going to turn 5 at the end of next month, 5 years old.
At the end of November.
Okay. At the end of November. Yeah, not October. I'm sorry, November. And, it's funny. We've come a long way and figured out a lot of things. Some of these things are issues. We got to just basically get someone on the phone and carry on, you know, a little bit to see what's going on.
I'm ever thankful to the minister, like, honey, because I'm just, like, in my element. And I feel like I'm not only in my element, but I'm also feeling that I'm around people that really understand my poetry. And so I'm feeling really good about the whole relationship between myself and world poetry. So thank you so much, everyone.
Very good. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling for the second time tonight for the return engagement. What do you think? Should we try to see if Sinister can give us a shot right now?
Yeah.
All right, Sinister, we're going to give you about 30 seconds or so. See if you can get back on the line here. It's actually your turn. Give us a call if you can. So JT, it's someone else's responsibility to remember your birthday. I understand. As far as like the next year, are you someone who sits there and thinks, okay, this year of my life, I'm going to accomplish this?
Oh, yeah, I do that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to share, or do you want to keep it all private?
I tend to keep it private.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. There's a lot of wisdom to that, actually. Yeah. Okay.
I did at one point in time do a New Year's resolution and fulfilled it, so I was happy. I was like, cool, I'm done. Not doing those again.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Hey, Sinister, how's it going, man?
Yeah, I did at one point. Don't keep anything private if you're used to it.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, we got you back on the air, so I'm going to let you have the stage, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do a very, very short one.
Okay.
I'll turn you guys down. This is one of the first pieces I wrote after a series of losses. It's called Extinguation. Look up on Instagram. There's a drawing and a painting for it. Here it goes. I am walking shadow of what I once thought myself to be. I question whom the reflection is staring lost back at me. What purpose can a soul adhere to in this chasm of empty? Rather queer the festering notion of indifference now unsettling. Ah, missed the query, finding no side to hang resolve upon notably. My emphatic drawn sensations seem frozen, lacking warranted withdrawal. But no, there is no sure footing in that can see glory and victory gallop. Perform this open heart surgery to ascertain I'm more human than shown. Yet, sorrow is approaching flatline as this extinguation can't flow in pencil or pen gold. That means I fall asleep. My meds are killing me. They got me on all sorts of new crazy people
doing.
Sorry.
That's okay, man.
It's all right, buddy. All right. We understand. Sinister, thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate you trying that, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
You're a very good poem, but I just can't read the shit out of it here. Now my meds are just
I understand, man. Sorry,
it's all
buddy.
Good. I wore meds before shows.
All right. We understand, though, man. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri. Second time for the return engagement. All right. Now, we're getting ready to go to the last caller of the evening, and I think she's a perfect person to end it with. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver. Cynthia, are you there?
I am.
Beautiful, and you're coming through nice and loud and clear. So it's been a kind of a compact show tonight, but it's felt pretty good. What do you think?
Oh, it was really enjoyable, a nice treat to come home to.
You know, that's how I feel every week when we come here, and I think JT can kind of coincides with that or agrees with that. So what do you have for us this time?
So this is one of mine, and I'm going to dedicate it to everyone at World Poetry Open Mic, the poets, the listeners, and the hosts. So this is called All That We Are. Thank you for this time, this gift, this breath of now, losing ourselves into the zen of the moment and the beauty of language, dreams within and beyond the full infinity we are privileged to be part of, the way words open us to the mystery and divine power of who we are, the most real truth, the sanctity of inner peace. End poem.
That's a beautiful, beautiful piece. Thank you, Cynthia. I'm sure everybody really enjoyed that. I know we did over here.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for having me on the show, and have a great evening.
Hey, you too.
We'll do. You too.
We can't wait to hear from you next time, if you can make it. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, mice, everybody else listening, it's late at night in some places.
It is.
Sometimes only the mice might be listening. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, you guys have created a great show tonight, and it's been as loopy as I've been. It's been great to be back here, and I think I've been kind of cathartic. JT is kind of still reeling from. thanks for everything, JT. Thanks for keeping us all together and handling all of the important technical stuff. So from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, who is really upset that I won't pet her, from Ursa, who's also really obsessed with me petting her, from all of us here at World Poetry Open Mic, we want to say thank you, like we said earlier, for taking the time to be with us. Thanks for taking the time to be together and to help build this community. We're looking forward to next week when we come together with some new clues for a new poet of the month and our first After Dark in quite a while. Join us next time on another thrilling episode of World Poetry Open Mic, next Friday night, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Until then, keep writing.